Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 5 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. We haven't done a full show in a while. Red Sox been getting going at 6:08, so we've been getting out of here early, but not tonight. This is prime time baseball, baby. 8:08 first pitch. Red Sox, Yankees.
As good as it gets right here, man.
The TV networks love this.
Rivalry's back.
They love this.
Yeah.
Oh, the rivalry's back.
It's back, baby.
I feel a little buzz in the rivalry.
Yep.
Well, what's it? Fernando Cruz also helped that last night by acting like a jackass as he left the mound.
You know what helped?
L7.
Is that the Red Sox, you know, just started getting better players.
Did I do that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't have a rivalry if you're not both in the postseason.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
100%. They're in the postseason. And this is perfect in a way. You know, we had the debate yesterday. What are you looking for? Blowout win, whatever. Now it's game three. Now it's the tension is going to be thick at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they won't have 6,000 unused tickets tonight. Hopefully they let anybody who wants to get in buy the damn tickets, whether it's the cheap seats or the fancy seats. Before we get to the drive real quick, hadn't thought about the thing that Lou said that Connelly Early has never played a road game with a stadium that had more than like 12,000 people.
That's
in the crowd.
Interesting.
There's going to be 50,000 people there wanting to rip his head off.
Have you heard some of his comments, though? The way he talks just puts me at ease.
Me too.
There's something about there's a confidence in how he answers questions and just relates to the media that I literally am like, oh, across sports, but you know. I knew a quarterback that was similar to that when he first came in the league, where you're just like, wow, this guy's got everything under control. I like that. I want my pitcher to be very calm, very cool, very calculated, and I just like the way he talks and presents himself. That sometimes can be a sign that he's got the right disposition for this high leverage situation that he's in.
All right, it's time for the drive where Ted Johnson will expand on his comparison of Connelly Early to Tom Brady.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home.
Stop!
On WEEI Afternoons.
So it is time for the drive. I compared Connelly Early visually to another young star athlete who's been performing in New York City, Jackson Dart. A little bit of a baby face look to Jackson Dart. Everybody said he's screwed.
Rosy
he's not
cheeks.
Ready. Yeah. And Jackson Dart went out there and beat the Chargers.
Sure right? did.
So they saw
the undefeated Chargers.
Exactly. So they saw it firsthand in New York City, what a young baby face player can do. But let's start there, Ted Johnson. So at 23 years and 182 days, Connelly Early will be the youngest Red Sox pitcher since Babe Ruth to start a postseason game. In case you want to do the math, that was 1916. So that was that was 109 years ago.
Like it was yesterday.
My grandma was 16 years old.
Really?
Yep. Born in 1900.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she's not with us anymore.
You know what? She, God bless her, passed away in 91. So just think about what she saw in her life, you know, 1900
to 1991.
I think those
people are so cool. Oh. Now, I'm sure
horse and buggy to people on the moon.
People will probably say that about us. Like, they went from no internet to phones that were built into their brains and things or whatever. But you just brought it up. Connelly Early, you made a comparison, and I'm not going to go over the top for radio purposes. But cool, calm, collected Tom Brady was in a, interesting spot back in 2001. and you think there may be a little
just how
similarity?
The blood pressure's down, doesn't seem too overwhelmed. It doesn't seem like this is too big of a moment.
Will he take a nap? Didn't Tom Brady famously take a nap?
I told the story on the Vice special. Yeah, where he was sitting there before we went out to the Super Bowl. He's got a towel over his face. He's laying down in front of his locker taking a nap. And I was like, oh, we're good. That put me right. It was weird. That put me at ease. How that, like, Alex Bregman smiling to Lou earlier this morning at the hotel put Lou's mind at ease. There's something about Connelly Early's disposition, his personality, the way he talks, that puts me at ease. And you can see how he's performed just in just 19 innings of play. The guy's been a wizard. So, you know, why not keep this thing going? I know there's a lot more people watching, but I don't feel like he's going to be fazed by that.
Fitzy, that is all well and good that he has a certain stature. And then when Aaron Judge hits a 500-foot home run on the second at-bat of the game, the old Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until they get punched
in the face.
Are you similarly confident in Connelly Early and his makeup for this situation?
I am. I think you can't fear what you don't know. And if he's never been in a situation like this, why start to worry about what you're walking into now? He's got an intelligence and ease about him that sets him up for success on the regular. Whether or not he's expecting to walk into the mouth of hell and listen to all of those goons out there making life miserable for him, we'll see. I think he's going to be fine early on, but it's going to be, can he go through the lineup a second time? Does he get nervous and groove one? That's what he's got to stay low. If he can keep the ball down, he's going to keep the Sox in the game until and if their own lineup gets going.
All right. Speaking of lineups, Dan Ball, the Red Sox and Yankees both have a couple new-look lineups, a little twist. Let's start with the lineup for your hometown Boston Red Sox.
Let's do that indeed. And it's a very similar one to what we saw at the end of the regular season, guys. Jarren Duran leads off in left. Then it's Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataki Yoshida, Andy's guy, the DH, he's cleanup. Woo! And the biggest change, Seydon Rafael in center field, the guy who couldn't lay a bunt down, he's now hitting fifth. So hopefully he'll just hit more home runs.
Five hitters don't bunt, so we're good.
That's right, absolutely. Nathaniel Lowe at first, Carlos Navarez your catcher, Willy Abreu out in right, and Romy Gonzalez at second. And I thought it was interesting that Lou was surmising there may be a little something-something going on with Gonzalez right now. He might be fighting something.
He's not the only one. Will Fleming has alluded to the same thing. So my guess is when the season ends, we're going to find out that these guys all know whatever the hell Romy Gonzalez is actually dealing with. But he's out there. And this is a better, from a pure visual perspective, this is a better looking lineup. Like, this is a lineup you feel better about.
Well, this is literally, I think, the best lineup you can possibly put out there. Their best lineup would be against a fastball throwing right-hander right now, given who they have, who's healthy, and what's available to them. And if Romy Gonzalez is also fighting something, lest we forget, guys, there were, unsubstantiated rumors of Crochet being sick over the weekend. Bregman was sick over the weekend, flew down separately. Story.
Oh, he was definitely sick. Just a clarification there, because we talked about wondering what it was.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing it was belly illness, because Alex Cora made a joke about he kept telling everybody that they, quote, ate the worm during the celebration in the way of the playoffs. So
there's internet rumors about a lot of different things, a lot of different people, but if a norovirus type of thing rifled through a bunch of people, I wouldn't be surprised. That said, look, we're going to talk Tom Brady, Connelly Early, Sox and Patriots. Someone had a fever of 103 on a Saturday night, then came out the next day and whooped the ass of the Steelers. So,
and Nathaniel Lowe is a guy that I don't think is a crazy pick to have a big hit. Maybe even have a big home run in a key spot. He's a guy that every once in a while he takes a swing and you think, oh, he jacked it. He got that one out of there. And Ted, he's got a ring.
He does, from the Rangers.
You don't want to credit him, but he's got a ring. He's no St. Bregman, but he's got a ring.
How about him? He just needed, where was he, with the Washington?
And then they said, bye-bye, you stink.
And then he came here, and he just, turned into the player that the Red Sox were hoping they would get. So
worked out.
It's really worked out with him. So, no, you're right. The lineup does look more, hefty, more stout, if you will.
Yeah, it's not Yankees.
Gives you a little bit more confidence.
Stout, I like that.
Yeah. I love every time I listen to a Yankee coming to the plate who has somewhere between 20 and 50 home runs, and it's like, does everybody on this team hit home runs?
It's not even that.
Are you allowed to do that?
It's like they got the square jawline and the mustache and the
Was it 1998 like again?
Yeah. Yeah,
they all look like a bunch of barroom brawlers, yeah. Mixologists, and former haircutters. By the way, one guy we have not mentioned, one guy we've heard nothing from all series long except when he almost ran into and trucked Rafaela in game one. How about something, you know, a little something for the effort from Abreu tonight?
Well, that'd be sick.
I mean, he did miss a significant period of time. So just to, like, get back out here, playoffs, like, he's chasing his timing and catching up.
Can we get the Abreu that started out the season that was...
Although, to be fair, he was hurt in spring training, so he started the season hot after
he was sick in spring training.
Yeah.
Remember that?
So maybe...
He lost, like, 20 pounds.
All right. Maybe he's sick again. Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe they get it done. Dan Ball, let's get to the Yankees lineup.
All right. You got Trent Grisham in center, Aaron Judge in right, Cody Bellinger in left, Giancarlo Stanton, your DH, so no flipping of the outfielders for this one. Ben Rice at first, Ahmed Rosario at third, Jazz Chisholm at second, Anthony Volpe at short, Austin Wells your catcher. So the only player change is Rosario in for Ryan McMahon, and then they did some shuffling for your players. But other than that, your main big boppers still very much there.
Sox killer Ben Rice at first base, although that gives you an arm that they... did I read he's in like the 1 percentile for throwing?
Yep. Terrible arm.
You can't be lower than that.
Run.
You can't be lower than one. If you were
somebody
lower, it means you can't throw.
The third base coach that got a bad arm.
It's a little late. He didn't know that when he needed to know that. Yes, Dan Bell?
Ben Rice of Cohasset, Massachusetts.
Yes, the local guys are everywhere on that Yankees
hate
squad.
Hey, we forgot, Andy, you know, we've gone just a little over 3 hours into this afternoon's edition of the WEI Afternoon Program. I forgot to ask, how did David Hamilton do last
week?
Way to go, Fitzy. Way to go.
He bought a drink after the game because he didn't play and he needed to soak his sorrows in his cup at the hotel bar.
Nailed it.
Fitzy, what he really wanted to say was David Hamilton was going to have a breakout play in this game.
Yes.
Not last night's game, but
in
this game.
Yeah, I got the day wrong.
A prophet, sometimes there's a little vagary to their visions and it takes a little while for
genius
them.
Walks alone and on the wrong day.
I'll say it again. If David Hamilton was on second base, you win that game last night.
Oh,
David Hamilton runs his ass home.
Yeah. Just send the drone here. Just take
telling
me
you,
now, please.
I'm telling you that would happen. Anyway, we bring up the coaching and some of the things that went wrong yesterday. And our guy Lou Maloney, who joined us about 45 minutes ago as he was huffing and puffing his way to Yankee Stadium. Ted, you asked him about bunting, like the simple idea of bunting. And he not only addressed that, he took it a little bit deeper with in terms of the idea of, are these teams prepared for the postseason in general?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they practice bunting, but it's just like anything else. You can take BP all you want, but until you get in a game and do it, it's completely different. To me, it's the problem with baseball, and it's not just the Red Sox, you know, although given the type of team they are right now, and they really did this in September, you know, move the runner, put some bunts down in September. But the game itself, like for 6 months, is, you know, hit home runs, don't bunt. That's not a way to maximize runs. Well, should I move the runner over for third? Nope. Try to get a hit. Try to hit a double. Try to score 3 or 4 runs every inning. And then it seems like when the games matter the most, when we're in the playoffs, you see all these teams trying to bunt. And all of a sudden, contact matters. Like people are like, no, I can't strike out in the playoffs. Need more contact. Well, you know, you need more contact. You need to do little things. You got to play fundamental baseball. But in a regular season, none of that matters. Like, how does that make sense? Like, how do we not preach moving runners and making contact and bunting and winning ball games during a regular season? And then all of a sudden in October, we want our team to figure out how to play differently? Like, it just, and like I said, it's not the Red Sox. It's everybody. All of a sudden, you get to the postseason, and the things that should matter all of a sudden matter. But for 6 months, you tell me they don't? It's just a weird place.
But it matters more for the Red Sox because that's how they're built. Like, you're not going to ask Aaron Judge to bunt. The Yankees are built as they're built. As I said, it feels like everybody in the lineup hits 20, 30, 40, 50 home runs. Okay, so that you live and die by that in May. You live and die by that in October. But we've had this conversation. We talked to Alex Cora in September, a day after he had extra bunting practice at Fenway Park. Mm. And remember I asked him, I said, was that in preparation for October? And he said, no, it's in preparation for September.
Yeah.
So you're supposedly preparing for that, and I couldn't find the exact list of guys, although Bradfoe thought that Rafaela was part of that group that did extra bunt practice that day in September to prepare down the stretch. But Lou's right. Like, you shouldn't look that inept.
It's weird, though. It kind of reminded me of the NBA game, how it's a fast-paced game in the regular season, and then except for this last year,
right,
where it was the two teams in the finals were young and it went up and down the court. But typically, it's a different game in the playoffs versus the game in the regular season. And I think that kind of fits here with the Red Sox. It's a they're playing a different style in the regular season, and then they play a different style in the playoffs, and it's confusing. And Lou's confused, and I'm confused. And I don't know why guys – I guess he did say that they do practice some bunting in BP.
But they do. But the issue, like he brought it up, BP is BP. It's right? a guy it's throwing 80 miles
that's
an hour,
true.
Maybe.
And with the ball
and he's not throwing a splitter that's diving.
That's fair.
So Rafaela is like squared up, and then all of a sudden, oh, no, that's diving, and I get below
the
ball.
So there's no real way to simulate a real pitcher in BP, I guess, then.
I mean, I guess you could if you really wanted to invest in it. But I don't know. They don't prioritize it until the season's on the line and the whole world is watching.
I mean, but,
and you popped out to the pitcher.
But besides that, he could have pulled the bunt away. I mean, both of those balls that he tried to bunt were way out of the strike zone.
Yes.
So
and that's
anxious.
And that is it. They always tell you you can't be anxious. You can't chase the ball. Bunting is about allowing a strike to hit your bat, essentially. But once you start chasing it, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Bad. You're going to pop out to the catcher, or you're going to hit one too hard because the infield was in. Like, they were way in. That was not the easiest of bunting situations. That could have gone wrong there. Although, I do think the flip side is true. I'm not sure people are overly comfortable fielding in bunting situations because it doesn't happen much.
Well,
but when you just hit a little pop-up to the pitcher, it's, I mean, you could have caught that. Ted, I could have caught that. Anybody could have caught that. Even Stiz could have caught that, the least athletic member of the...
Thank you, Andrew.
We did talk to our guy, Tom Curran, because there is a massive Patriots game this weekend. If you believe in gauging or barometers or litmus tests or measuring sticks, and there's also the comparison that's been quite popular of Drake May to Josh Allen. Statistically, they are quite similar. So I asked Tom Curran if he's buying into this evolution of Drake May.
I think he is developing into who he will ultimately be, but he still has a dark side.
Whoa!
Do we forget what happened 2 weeks ago when he threw a line drive pick into the end zone against Pittsburgh and then had a ridiculous decision on which he fumbled later in the game when he was almost all the way fully safe and just taking a simple sack? The last 2 weeks to me, Andy, were absolute perfect case studies for Drake May to look at. If I don't make a mistake, we can beat a bad team by 36 points. If I make bad mistakes, we can blow an entirely decent and competent chance to beat a team that's maybe even a little bit better than us. And we could have beaten them by 21. That's what he should be saying to himself. So just stop the dumbness because it's not cured yet.
The dumbness, the dark side and the dumbness of Drake May from Tom Curran.
The dark and the dumb. Who would have ever thought that's what we'd be positioning this preview as?
Yes, Dan Ball.
Not to be confused with wrongheadedness.
Yes. No. It's not wrongheadedness. It's dark side and dumbness. That's very different. Ted Johnson, though, you believe this is key, this whole don't turn the ball over. You'll give yourself a chance. But you also had a statistic that the Buffalo Bills have won the turnover battle in how many straight games?
26 straight games. It is currently a record.
So that's all of last year, the beginning of this year, and some of the previous year?
Yep.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yep, they have won the turnover battle in 26 straight games. Yep. So,
but also, don't forget, Josh Allen has thrown a pick against the Patriots in four straight. So something's got to give.
Or he could just throw one pick. Drake could throw three picks, and the Bills win the turnover battle and win the game in all likelihood.
Let me just tuck that positive thought back in my pocket right there.
I believe after the second game, I came in with the stat that basically said Drake May and Ramondre Stevenson together combined for two turnovers every game. I think it was after last. If you look at just Drake May right now, he's averaging just half a turnover a game. So he's lowering his turnovers little by little by little. So we will see. He's trending in a way where the turnovers that plagued him last year and to start the season are starting to be eliminated.
We're obviously going to get into this more tomorrow, Friday, leading into Sunday night football, even though we'll also be reacting to this massive baseball game happening tonight. But just quick yes or no. Do you feel good about this, the word they use sometimes in football, spot for the Patriots, where they are, where the other team is on the road? You feel good about this spot?
Bitsy?
Yes, I do. I do. Are they 100% who I think they'll ultimately be? No, but do I want to know if they are a paper tiger or Foxborough frauds or an actual Foxborough football team? Yes, this is a great. That's why it's the barometer and benchmark game. It's huge for them. I want to know, Andy, pretenders or contenders?
Ted Johnson, you feeling good about it?
You know, can I say yes and no?
That's not how this works.
The Bills play the Falcons after they play the Patriots, so it's not like a they can't overlook the, you know, they're not going to overlook the Patriots.
Okay.
You know, but for the Patriots, it's their first real test against one of the better teams. And so if they are going to get to where they want to go, they can't just beat up on the weak teams. They gotta compete and beat the good teams too. And so this is a good spot for them to kind of see where they're at. I think 5 weeks into the season, they always say the first month is an extension of preseason. So we've been through the month of September. So let's go. Josh McDaniels, you can see, is starting to figure out what he's got in his offense. You're starting to see some consistency there and where he wants to go with certain guys. You see the defense. Guys are starting to show out a little bit on defense. So it's probably the right time to play him if you had to put a rubber band to my head. And I would say this is probably a good spot for them. And I like that they're going to play them in mid-December. And so in which by that time, I expect this team to be a hell of a lot better than it is currently right now.
All right, that's going to do it for The Drive on a Thursday afternoon. Alex Cora down in New York has spoken with the gathered media at Yankee Stadium. He's given some insight into the Red Sox bullpen and who's available tonight in this deciding Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. We'll talk about that and bring that information to you next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ending. That was Alex Bregman, St. Bregman, after last night's loss to the Yankees, preparing for tonight's game in New York.
That's why he came to Boston for games like this. This
That's
is
right.
why he came. This is what he, you know, he's got his rings. He wants to play for, you know, an iconic franchise like the Boston Red Sox and play against, you know, an iconic rivalry like the Red Sox versus the Yankees. And so he was smiling. He was in good spirits this morning. So hopefully I want these guys loose, man. I want them relaxed. I want them going in there feeling like, you know, they got this thing all under control. That usually means that you're going to get a better performance if you go in a little bit like that.
Time to go full Millar, like a little cowboy up in the clubhouse before the game, boys?
Nope, not with a 23-year-old young starter. You might pick your spots. Maybe some of the guys are mature enough for that. I learned myself last night, you got to be careful. If you're a lightweight, you stick to your game. No extra dirty Shirleys. They hit you hard.
Oh, so how many did you have?
Just one. I don't think I could have two. I wouldn't be here today if I would have ate the worm kind of situation. Update out of Cleveland. Detroit 6, Cleveland 1 in the 8th inning. We are trending toward 14 straight series where the team that won Game 1 wins the series, unless there's a dramatic comeback there. So we said before the break, Alex Cora spoke to the media down in New York. There is some truth to that. He hasn't done the official meeting with the media yet. He apparently talked to some reporters on the field, you know, as he did to us yesterday when he had his AirPods in and he was walking Yankee Stadium and chatting with WEEI Afternoons. But Dan Ball, we have some quotes out of that interaction that give us some insight into the bullpen.
Yes, and I'll quote a direct tweet from Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. Cora said everyone, even Garrett Whitlock, is available out of the bullpen tonight. Bayo will be in the bullpen this evening. Asked about Crochet for a couple outs, a la Chris Sale in 2018, Cora said, I can't say. We'll see, but probably not. So, again, you said this yesterday. We've had a couple of answers from him where one thing has been said and the other thing has been done. So, I read that as everybody's available, all hands on deck.
Why is everybody asking if Brian Bayo is available tonight? What, does anybody want to see Brian Bayo back on the mound?
No.
That's a great point.
People are obsessed with, hey, is Brian Bayo available tonight? Who cares? I don't care. I don't want.
Out of your mind?
He was not ready to go from jump in last night's game. What makes you think you put him out there in a high leverage situation?
Maybe he walked the Bronx and found a nice dispensary to help cool his nerves, Dad.
Not great.
Yeah, it is funny. Now, I get it because we're into sort of the storylines. Oh, it'd be a cool storyline if he sucked in game two and then came back and pitched in game three and gave you three shutout in the middle of the game. And like, I get the storyline aspect of it, but you're right. The guy only threw 28 pitches. Why? Because he only deserved to throw 28 pitches. He was terrible, as Lou said, no longer has a changeup, which was the pitch he used to dominate the Yankees, so he no longer dominates the Yankees. If I gave you the either-or option, Tolley or Bayo, who do you want to say?
Tolley.
Thank you. Me too.
Tolley.
100 times. Even though he's given up home runs, he only has the fastball.
I listened to the first two, three innings on the radio, and it was like you could just hear both Wills and Lou it's talking incessantly about Brian not being comfortable.
Correct.
From the very beginning, he wasn't comfortable.
I wonder why.
And then his velocity was going down, and you're like, I don't think he's going to last. I don't think he should
Long
be out. And it was like, get him out of there. If these guys are seeing it that clearly for the first two innings, then what makes you think he's figured out his problems overnight?
And this is why Alex told us, you know, it is in a way easier to manage in the postseason, even though the pressure is greater. Like, everybody's available. Just do whatever the hell you need to do to get on a plane to fly to Toronto to keep playing, you do. And that's why he's, you know, I don't think we're actually going to see Garrett Crochet, but he's not going to say no.
Career high 117 pitches just 2 days ago.
But let me paint this situation. Two outs, bases loaded, Yankees down two, bottom of the ninth, and Aaron Judge is at the plate. Would you consider throwing Crochet? Because I would. Because Crochet has owned him. Well, other than the two home runs. Mostly owned him. I would absolutely consider that, especially maybe the bases are loaded because Chapman was in and loaded the bases and he seems like he's melting down. Like, anything's on the table.
I'd have to have that conversation with him before the game. Yeah. I have to, you know, you just don't want to surprise
him. I bet you he would say, put me in.
Oh, F yes, he would.
Yeah.
Absolutely he would.
Remember, he's the guy that's telling them how to dress and how to act and how many calls to the bullpen you're going to be making. I think he would say, put me in, coach. I'm ready. Mm.
We got Chapman didn't pitch last night, so.
But he did warm up twice, which I don't love that he, so he'd had the two innings the night before, and then he warmed up twice yesterday. Mm. I don't love that. I mean, the one guy I don't know if I could have any confidence in is Whitlock. I thought Whitlock looked like a puddle of goo when they finally scraped him off the mound.
Does he have his emotions like clearly all over his face?
Yeah.
I mean, the hat's turned sideways. He's just kind of like touching his face like, oh, my God, he's breathing heavy.
Yes.
He was like, oh, my God, this guy's melting down.
I know, but he was so good in the seventh.
But that's the problem with all these guys. Like, Chapman's good for one inning. Whitlock's good for one inning. And it's like, no, it's the postseason. We're doing two.
But when it falls, it falls hard for Whitlock.
That sucks, I know.
But I do – it's going to be interesting, you know, because you could be in the same situation. As much as I can talk up, you can talk up Connolly early. He's a 23-year-old who's pitched four games, who's never pitched in front of a hostile crowd in his life. It's all minor. Like Lou says, there's never been a third deck in the place he was pitching when he was on the road. And now all of a sudden you're in Yankee Stadium, which isn't as loud as the old Yankee Stadium, but it's still Yankee Stadium.
Intimidating place.
And I give them credit. From what I've heard on our airwaves, the ambient sound, their crowd has been into it. The crowd has been good from the first pitch of the night in games one and two. So he's going to hear it. There's going to be a buzz and energy and electricity in the ballpark. So that's going to be interesting. And if he falters, second inning, third inning, you could absolutely be deep in your bullpen.
Could be. And then it goes the other way. I mean, of those 12 teams before this series started that had clinched their first three-game series by winning the first game, 12 for 12, eight of the 12 teams were on the road.
Yep.
And so what happens is if the Yankees get behind a little bit, if JD can go out there and, you know, get some early runs, and score some runs, then you put Yankees on their heels and all of a sudden it gets quiet, it gets weird, and the Yankees fall apart. That's what the hope is.
Yeah, and if you can get a couple, I mean, if you can get three runs, you know, sort of one of those crooked innings at some point, then I think it doesn't get quiet. Then I think it gets Bronx cheers, angst. I think they become almost a negative environment for the home team.
They work against the home team.
Yeah.
Because they do. They do. But, like, I want to know. So let's say the Sox somehow accrue five runs, which would be miraculous considering they're going to score.
See you in Toronto.
Yeah, what, to watch Toronto versus New York? Because
so we got five. How many?
I didn't say but who's going to hold them at bay until, like, from early? Let's say early goes five innings, gives
love
up two
it.
Runs.
Love it.
Okay, Who goes 6-7-8 and doesn't give up three runs to get to Chapman?
So, I don't know. That's why he makes $7 million a year. I'm just a radio host. He makes $7 million a year to make those decisions.
Spin the wheel.
Or something I didn't like that we didn't get into last night from the WEEI broadcast with Will Fleming, when he made a comment like, Andrew Bailey looked like he just said, go get him if you want to get him or something, or to about Brian
That's
Bayo.
Right. Yeah.
I'm the manager of the team. I don't need the pitching guy to tell me when I can make a pitching change. You advise me on your specialty, but I'll make the change. But no, like, I have faith in Alex. We've talked about this. If Connelly, 5 innings, 2 runs, Fitzy, did you just say that? Yes, you're going to win the
game.
That's
my dream.
Yes, you're going to win the
game. I gave my best case scenario.
If you don't make Alex Cora piece together like 7 innings, I think you'll be fine. I think you have the arms in the bullpen. Tolley, you got his feet wet a little bit last night. I kind of looked how he liked how he swaggered off the mound. Now, I'm pretty sure he swaggers off the mound even when he gives up like a 3-run home run. That guy just has swagger oozing from him. But he got a little taste of it. I now would accept seeing him get a batter or two in the right pocket or situation from Alex Cora. I think this bullpen could be ready to go. I am not down on the bullpen if they get a 5-inning start out of Connelly early. To me, if he gives the baton to the bullpen at that, you should win.
Lou was thought, you know, maybe even 4. If you get 4 out of them,
yeah, I'd like
2 times through the rotation.
Yeah, I'd like 5. Maybe I'm being greedy, and I may regret that if you go with a 3rd time through the rotation. Dan Ball, why you bobblehead day at Dan Ball's house?
Because I think you guys are out of your mind thinking that he's going to go 5 innings, personally. I think if you get 4, that is a 4, that means he hasn't imploded, and it's a massive victory for you considering how little experience he has. Yep.
Okay.
That's just me. You guys know, I hope that I'm proven wrong. I just think we got to lower our expectations. 3 is okay. 4 to me is a massive victory tonight.
All right. We're coming up on odds and ends here on WEEI Afternoons. That means we make our predictions. We tell you what we think is going to happen if we think they'll be playing baseball this weekend in Toronto. That's up next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get to odds and ends, we need to get to something that came across Ted Johnson's social media feed during the break that has the big guy hot and bothered. Take it away, Ted.
But dude, I would run to your apps to make a bet on the LA Rams winning this game. Now, they're favored by 8.5 points, which is a big number. But look at Mac Jones' outfit entering the game tonight. The 49ers are playing the Rams in tonight's game, and Mac Jones just starting because Brock Purdy's hurt, right?
Yep.
So what Mac Jones decided to wear to the game today is just – I just sit there and I go, I'm just glad he's not my quarterback anymore. I'm so glad. I just – if he was the quarterback of the Patriots and he wore an outfit like he is wearing tonight, I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's a suit that's like half of it's all black on one side and the other half is all red, and he's wearing Gucci shoes with no socks. And he just looks awkward as hell walking into the stadium.
That is the ugliest suit I think I've ever seen in my life.
He looks so ugly.
Guys, he looks like, no, honestly, guys, he looks like Two-Face, the Batman villain.
That's what I thought of first.
Or a guy who had his face burned off.
Or a guy from like a mariachi band.
Yeah, he just doesn't look good. And he can't pull it off. He doesn't have that coolness factor with like, you know how there's some guys, no matter what they wear, it's cool. It immediately becomes cool. Mac Jones is not that guy. And nor is Stiz, who raised his hand behind the glass. Football talk on WEEI, including Mac Jones' pregame outfit for Thursday Night Football, is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Now we get to the meat of the matter. It is game three at Yankee Stadium. Red Sox, Yankees for all the marbles. Winner advances to Toronto. Loser is in the offseason. That's going to be our odds and ends for today. Brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. All right, Fitzy, we'll start with you. Put your money where your mouth is. The hell's going to happen tonight?
Oh, man, this is going to be an epic one. This is going to be a game for the ages. So, such a short series, such a memorable one. The Sox are going to get the lead early, and early is going to look great. And then the bullpen is going to come back to bite the Sox in the ass. And sadly, in the end, they blew their chance to win it last night. So I'm going to go Yankees 5,
wow.
Red Sox 3.
You really are a Connecticut guy now.
And I know, Andy, here's my mental game plan. Here's the approach why. I have accepted the fact that they likely blew their chance last night. So all the momentum is in the Yankees' favor. So when and if the Red Sox do pull off the upset tonight and advance to Toronto, I will be so incredibly pleased that it's not even possible to find anyone happier. But I think the Yankees are going to win tonight. I hate it. I hate myself for saying it. But I got to be honest, man. Got to be honest.
So just an update, the Cubs are also up 2-0. I believe the Cubs won game one.
No.
So we're looking to continue the streak that every game. Yes. Stays.
I got to say, Andy, you've been saying this. See, I kind of look at it the opposite way. Like, oh, it hasn't happened in this, you know, this many years or this many times. Like,
nope.
It's due.
No,
so
it isn't
it's due.
Due.
Dan and I were talking about earlier. I almost want one of these teams to snap it now. So like the pressure's not on the Red Sox.
The pressure's
Thank
on the
you.
Red Sox either way. You're at Yankee Stadium. You got a 23-year-old pitcher. Like,
I think more pressure is on the Yankees. The home team is expected to win. They are a team from the World Series a year ago. But there's also pressure on the Red Sox. Your season ends if you lose. That is pressure. This is, you know how everybody always gets mad when we say must-win games? This is a must-win game because you're done. If
for
you don't
both
win,
teams.
Right?
It's
no,
a double
that's what
musty.
I mean. You go home musty. If you lose, and some of them will be fired, won't be on the team in the future. All of that. So let's go to Dan Ball, Mr. Negativity himself. Who you got tonight?
Well, I've been sticking true to my prediction from Tuesday with the Red Sox winning Game One, the Yankees winning Game Two. The Red Sox will win a scrappy game in Game Three. I think Connelly early does not make it out of the fourth, but that's okay. I think you go matchup by matchup through the bullpen. And once again, I said this at the beginning of the series, guys, I trust Alex Cora more than Aaron Boone to manage a game in which both teams are going to the bullpen. I think that's what's going to happen for both Schlittler and for early. Got to say that one slow. But
close.
I think the Red Sox scratch and claw to a victory. I will go, I'm going 3-2 Sox.
Ooh, 3-2 Sox. So I get another nail biter. I get a fun edge of your seat.
You don't see a blowout at any chance for a blowout, do you?
I always see a chance for a blowout in these games that are this
That's
much pressure.
Because you have IBS.
Well, no, I just think with young pitchers, like could Connelly early give up 4 runs right out the gates and it's well on your way to this game being yes.
God,
other
no,
pitchers
that would
young
be awful.
Too.
That's my point. Two young pitchers. I'll be honest. I already went to my app. I took the over because I think two young pitchers and a bullpen game and a bullpen game on the heels of a bullpen get like. There's a lot of reason to believe that some runs could be scored. Red Sox have their best lineup out there. Yankees probably feel like they have their best lineup out there.
What'd you get for an over there, guy?
So it was okay. It was okay. We'll see. We'll see if I do okay. I'm going to go with my pick now. I think the Red Sox win, and I think they score some runs. I think this is going to be Brandon in Boston. Did he have 7-3 Yankees yesterday?
He did. Yep.
All right, I'll flip this.
And then 5-3, and then 4-3, and then 3-3.
And then he texted in. I don't know if it was him or somebody joking around. I'm drunk. This is Brandon in Boston again. But I am going to go 7-3 Sox. I think they pull away to win this somewhat convincingly. And I think the home crowd is going to turn on the Yankees. I think Boone is going to make some mistakes. I think Cora is going to make some magic. And I think we're going to be talking about a team with one pitcher heading into a 5-game series in Toronto come tomorrow here on WEEI Afternoon. So Sox roll. Ted Johnson.
Yeah, I got the Sox. I picked them in 3, just like my man Dan did. So the Yankees have used a lot of their high leverage pitchers already in the last 2 games. This is going to be a Johnny Wholesale game, as Terry Francona would say, a Johnny Wholesale game. It's about the bullpens, and I just think the Red Sox have a little bit more rested bullpen. And my guy, Alex Bregman walking out of the hotel, smiling, saying it's going to be a good day. That gives me the feeling he's going to have the key home run that is going to seal the game. I think the Red Sox win 5-2 tonight. 5-2 Red Sox win, and we go to Toronto where Massa is as a magic.
Right, I forgot about that. Yep. My guy carries him to the ALCS. Stiz, you're last but not least.
The New York Yankees.
What?
Are getting their boot smoked. 5-0 Red Sox. Let's go, baby.
So Fitzy picked against the Red Sox.
Love it.
The lone dissenter.
I can't believe Fitzy.
Genius picks alone.
He turned on his town. Yeah, wow.
That's what I did. That's what I want, Andy. Let me just get this nice and clean. I really want the Yankees to win.
So Christian Arcan's here. I like how everyone just let him say that. That's funny. How are we doing, guys? How are we feeling?
I want to make sure they recorded that cleanly.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Me too. Me too.
I'm feeling good. I'm
freaking out. How can you be feeling good? You're not freaking out a little bit?
Because
there's a 15-year-old boy about to make a start tonight.
He's
in the most
23.
Game of the year.
He's 23.
And you're sitting here like it's no big deal.
And Lou Maloney was winked at by Bregman in the hotel lobby, so that means they're going to win.
Wink.
Little will they or won't they thing going on.
Plus, the other thing is, isn't this what we wanted?
What's that?
Isn't this what we wanted?
No, I wanted them to win last night.
No,
I
know, but
this.
The season could be over.
Damn it.
My point is, for 4 years, we bitched about they're not in the playoffs. I want that anxiety.
Oh, don't we
I
want them in the playoffs? Sure, of course. Absolutely.
I want the anxiety.
Yes.
They gave it to us in game one. They gave it to us in game two, and hopefully they bring it tonight.
But that's dangerously close to, well, even if they win or lose, it doesn't matter because they made it here. I'm not playing that game tonight.
Okay.
All right? This is too important for that sort of thing. And it's the Yankees. I'm not going to say, well, hey, it's all right. You lost to the Yankees. That's never okay.
They also have a 12-year-old pitcher.
That's true, yeah.
So, I mean,
local
the lesson.
Kid too.
Another, like, there's lots of little storylines here, but the reality is, and I'm sticking with my guns until
the boy
proven,
next door, if you happen to live in Walpole.
Plus, you won game one. And
what?
Every team that wins game one wins the series.
Right.
It's science.
And it's about to happen here with Detroit.
Oh, I know.
With the Dodgers already.
And the Cubs are leading.
Cubs
are up
already?
Science. It is science. The Red Sox are going to win. Have no fear. We'll talk to you about the Red Sox victory tomorrow afternoon, 2-6. Right now, stick around for the Christian Arcan show leading into the Mass Mutual pregame show. And then Red Sox baseball, 808 Yankee Stadium. Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, Lou Maloney. We're ready. It's now or never for Alex Cora's team. We'll talk to you about it tomorrow, 2-6. Enjoy the game. See ya.
Let's go, Red Sox! Let's go, Red Sox! Let's go, Red Sox! Let's go, Red Sox!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.